As the voice of Chicago innovation, each week we look for innovators that have set out to reshape entire industries. Joining us to discuss how SMBs can now afford turnaround consulting is Ken Yeager, president of New Point Advisors. I'm Scott Catoon, and it's time to start talking about tomorrow's business today. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Scott.
So before we get into the meat and potatoes of this conversation, there are people out there who may or may not know or understand what the concept of a turnaround consultant is. Why don't you walk us through, we of course get into what New Point is, but why don't you walk us through what a turnaround is versus any other consultant management consulting group?
That's right. Everyone's really familiar with performance improvement consulting. It's the guys who help you either grow your top line or make your bottom line stronger or help you with your operations. Turnaround consulting is a niche, a very small niche of people that are involved when all else fails. You didn't get it right, and now you're about ready to go out of business, and this is your last best friend. Someone's going to come in and help you stop the bleeding on the bottom line and get your business back where it should be.
What would you say in turnaround? I'm sure that it encapsulates everything, but like, what would you say are the particular areas of strength, or not strength's the wrong word, most common areas that turnaround is spent on? Obviously, financials, probably poor investments, poor spending, but what else?
Yeah, the biggest thing is actually just keeping your records in order is the first thing, and it's very hard for the smaller businesses to do. It's a mind-numbing task for most entrepreneurs, and it's where it starts to unravel on them.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so the small businesses, small, medium-sized businesses, SMBs, as we call them, boy, that seems like right in their wheelhouse. I mean, that's
every
I work with companies all the time in different capacities, more of an innovation capacity. So in some cases, they are, you know, in need of turnaround. In a lot of cases, it's just like you're starting to see, as you will, like the train slowing down. They're losing momentum. And they know that they're not losing their core share, but they may have competitors have now come on or cheaper alternatives and things like that. How do we identify or capture or recapture a new market? So I'm more focused on, sometimes it's marketing, but a lot of times it's just, how do we make this experience of this same old product better? In your particular case, like you said, it's a lot of times financial in basis.
Well, it shows up financially, right?
Yeah.
We all know
we had
a problem because we were having a hard time making payroll.
Yeah.
We can't pay our vendors. These are the red flags that start to become the hallmark of our work. And we try to reverse that. But as you talk about innovation and changing companies, what we end up doing is a lot of companies, they get out over their skis to get beyond their core competency. They started to think they can, you know, because they are successful at something, they think they can be successful at everything, and we'll show up and they've got too much going on.
Sure.
And they can't account for it.
Well, and I think it began about the SMBs part of it. Like when I work with them, a lot of times, I mean, the financial part of it, you know, how it's showing up, as you said, in loss of sales or how they spend or the fact that they don't really utilize the analytical tools and softwares that are out there. Mm-hmm. They have no idea about the splits and things. You think about sports, right? We talk about the different saber metrics and things on how players should know whether they're doing one thing or another. All of these businesses have these things. If they use Oracle or any of their normal systems, it's all right there. And yet they never pull the reports. They never look at them. And when you ask me, I come in and I feel like Marcus Lemonis sometimes. I walk in there and I'm like, I'm not going to ask you a crazy question. I just want to know, like, what are your margins on this product and what percentage of total sales are this, this, and this? There's no answer. It's dead silence.
Dead silence.
And then you follow up with, all right, how much money and effort and time do you spend trying to push these products versus silence again?
Silence again.
Where does and what does New Point do to sort of help that and change that? What's your process like?
The very first thing is going to be about cash flow.
Sure.
Cash is king, as you've heard. We make sure that they're very clear on that and get that in order so that the people around them, which is causing part of the problem, all the stakeholders, the banker, the vendors, employees are all kind of getting noisy and just very distracting. So we use cash flow models to try and calm that down. And then we start talking about, like you talked about, metrics. Yep. What is it I should be doing in my business and what I need to focus on? And getting back to basics, that's the most important thing for them. Because then they've gotten a little scatterbrained, a little beyond where they were before, or they might have always been a scatterbrained entrepreneur and never thought about these metrics. And it's block and tackle. At the end of the day, when we're talking with the entrepreneur, it's very simple stuff, but they're overlooking it because they've gotten so caught up in the wind of competitors, the next guy coming along, what I need to be doing next. You can imagine in the accelerating sort of speeds of business, it's very easy to get caught by the next new thing.
Always, yeah.
And forget what your core was.
You know, this is actually kind of funny. So, it's kind of a sidebar, I guess, but a lot of companies I talk to, and this is, of course, pertaining predominantly to marketing, but when they're trying to launch new products, they see a new trend come flying in, and if you're really not skilled at it or your full-time job isn't keeping an eye on market trends to see how long one thing generally lasts versus another and the turnover of ideas, We have companies who invest literally hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, on a brand or a design of a new brand or a reshaping of an old brand that's going to be, you know, revitalized because they see a trend coming. And by the time the trend is actually gone or comes in, you know, by the time the product's ready to go, it's, the trend is over. Or they rebrand themselves again and again because before they even get to the market with their idea, they themselves are tired of their own brand. There's there's so much money that just gets spent in people not having a thumb on the pulse of their market and of their end user. And I feel like if I could give any advice to companies from an innovation standpoint, it is that you really should spend more time listening to your to what your end user is saying and what they're doing, what they're buying, and how they're reacting with your brand and with your product or service. And then take that back and go back and look at the metrics and see how it's actually showing up numerically.
Yes.
And if you cannot find what that trend is identify, they should be giving Ken a call.
Yeah. Yes. So, look, the one interesting thing about entrepreneur or just management, which is a thing that entrepreneurs are not necessarily very good at.
Yeah.
That's why they're called entrepreneurs, not managers. But the,
what are you trying to say about it?
but they can grow into those cases. And others can do it in different ways. But management is this rather boring task of making 10 to 100 really small decisions a day. If you find yourself constantly doing breakout decisions and let's do a major brand rewrite and you've done that more than once, you might start to ask yourself questions whether you really have a firm grip on what you're doing. Because you're leaping at and taking leaps of logic. And there's a lot of statistical information out there and a lot written in the press that's one of the last signs of a company right before they go out of business. As much as it also sounds like a company about ready to grow.
Yeah.
It's
well, awesome. I was just going to say, I mean, we have another segment of the show on Tomorrow's Business Day that we call Turning Point, and we probably should have had you on that one. New point, turning point, turnaround, it's all, it's all relative. But you just hit on something I think is important that, and this is essentially, I guess, my job. This is what I get paid for other than this, is with larger companies in particular, there's really not, I mean, obviously there's many differences, but there's one thing that's a common line between entrepreneurs, startup companies, if you will, and larger businesses is that the thin line between a pivot and a close is a very thin line. And, you know, like for me, when I started my company, I've rebranded or reshaped, pivot as we go. And there's nothing wrong with that. You're accepting, you're failing quickly and learning how to make a quick move before it's too late.
Yes.
It's the people who tie onto this and go, this will never work, or I'm all in, and then they follow it, and they follow it, and it looks like a dead end, and then they quickly try to, like, snap out of it, and then you see them, go into a tailspin.
When you're a small entrepreneur, pivoting is essential.
Yeah.
You've got to have that, and you need to be nimble, and hopefully you can,
have
that flexibility.
Foot.
Fleet of foot. Or you will find yourself reorganizing, starting over again tomorrow from scratch. When you get to be a company, when you've got employees and you've got a process, what you can't do is just start layering on top of that process.
Absolutely.
Then you start, now you're starting to really mess with the core, and you've added things to it, and the core keeps, it can't carry the weight of all this stuff, and it collapses at some point. House of cards, if you will.
Yep.
So that's the difference. And I would tell you that there's a point, I would say somewhere around $5 million in revenue, where you've got to start locking down what you are and start, and keep focusing on that and build on it without doing the leaps of logic or the pivots that you're talking about. There's a moment where that has to change.
Well, I think you're dead on with the $5 million mark. I've had numerous, I'd say probably three clients now that I've worked with, which one of them, unfortunately, it didn't work out for them. They get to that $5 million mark and they start to think that they're a $10 million, no, it's $10 million company. We're this. And then they lease more space because, of course, that's what you do, right? I'm a big company. I'm making it. And then we had some new products, and now we're going to have like a store, and it's going to be retail. And all. It's like, no, that's not what you do. You manufacture things. What are you doing?
Exactly.
And, unfortunately, some of them, they go under. There's nothing you can really do. It's too late. They owe too much money to people.
What we see quite often is walk into a company who says they do something, and we kind of get to the bottom of it and realize you actually do 2, 3, maybe 5 things, and you don't do any of them well anymore. And that's where you're killing yourself.
Well, it's just like, again, like I said, I feel like Marcus Lemonis. I walk into the store and it was like, you manufacture, like that's what they do. They manufacture and wholesale things. Why do you have 500 SKUs of different things going on? How did you think that was possibly going to work out in your favor?
Yeah.
And I mean, you just added all kinds of problems. That was what made your business beautiful is you didn't have those problems and you just added all those problems voluntarily.
Absolutely.
What would be the number one thing and piece of advice you could give for a budding company or a potential client of New Point, and how could New Point help them?
This
is your $1 million question.
There you go. Focus. You've got to narrow down. Usually we find you with too much going on, and you've got to narrow it down to something closer to that core, as we talked about it, something you're really good at. I tell entrepreneurs, it's that thing that you don't, no matter on your worst day, when everything's going wrong, it's the one thing you want to wake up and do that day. Focus on that thing. All the other stuff, scrape it off to the side. And that's the psychological side of it. Then there's the profitable side of it, and we can help them with the numbers and say, all right, but this is what, you know, is helping you keep, you know, a business afloat, and show you the financial version of that. And usually they line up.
Yeah.
When you get, you know, you find out someone's good at something that actually produces money, and we always tell you, as your dad would probably tell you, go and do what you love to do, and the money will come later.
I wish he didn't tell me that, but he should have.
There you go. Now that's my free advice for you.
Thanks,
but
Dad.
That's what will work for you. It's the, and I hate to say it, it sounds rather common sense, but it's actually kind of stopping yourself with all the crazy noise going on and recognizing what you're good at and being willing to say no to things, which is another problem for entrepreneurs.
For sure.
Yeah. No is a hard word.
No is a very – we actually had a previous episode, I think it went live actually yesterday, where Don Bora from 8-Bit Studios was actually running a thing, and he said basically, I try to work with companies that – They don't say no to everything. So it's an interesting theory. I think you guys are onto something cool. I love the ability to serve the SMB community and give them basically the same kind of services that the larger companies that are relying on the Deloittes of the world can do. And I mean, that's sort of how I got into this entire thing. Was I started my first company in 2013 while I was finishing up grad school, and the entire concept behind it was utilizing strategic teams we would build out of company employees and apply semi-proprietary, meaning I thought it up in my head, semi-proprietary design thinking platform for solving problems. And that's what we did. I mean, the whole thing was, the genesis of it was I was able to charge you $130 or $40 an hour for top talent because I was just making the best of your talent.
Yeah.
Instead of charging you $500, $800, $900, $1,000 an hour, which is what, you know, some of these Accentures of the world do.
Exactly. And what happened is the turnaround industry, as it's grown over the last almost 40 years, and it's been around for a long time, but 40 years of really professional work for very large companies and middle market companies, but nothing consistent or and nowhere near word of affordable for the SMBs of the world.
Sure.
And I've been in this business for 25 years, had worked with some small businesses and knew there was a way and had created this. And that's what the NewPoint platform is a way for small businesses and that lower middle market group to get a fair shot at the same resources. Because these are the companies that create all the jobs in this country and pay all the taxes. And yet they're the ones who get wiped out every time there's a bad news in a market or a recession. And that is disruptive to our economy. We all believe in creative destruction and we want to keep changing. But when we keep throwing people out or casting them aside when all they needed was just a little more help, that's not helpful to our
country. Well, I hope this makes a difference because, I mean, unfortunately, and an unfortunate truth is from the government or tax perspective, the SMBs, many of them are viewed as expendable because the reality is the number of amount of money or revenue that they're generating is, in for lack of a better way of saying it, is replaceable. When you're only generating $5 million, $10 million in revenue and you're employing 100 people or less, 40 people, 20 people, you're looking at a situation where if that company closes, there will be another company that's going to line right up in its space and take it because it's, you know, they come and go, they have five-year windows. Basically, it's amazing the idea. Think about the Illinois economy in particular. If all of those companies didn't close in 5, 6, 7, 8 years, or every time the family generation turned over, they didn't shut down because they've got someone like you to come in and keep them afloat, we would have twice as many of them and the tax burden might not be quite as high.
Exactly. And what you'll see is, like anyone else, we want to know what the viability of a business is.
Sure.
And that's really important. So if you're not viable, we'll tell you, it's time to stop. This was a bad exercise. I know you want to be an entrepreneur, but this isn't the right idea for you. But if you are one, then it's a terrible waste for all of us to see this company go out of business. It has a social cost, as you pointed out. It is a debilitating cost for the family that owned that business. They may have personal guarantees. Yep. This stuff can sprinkle out into divorce
and
kinds of problems with the family. So this is really, as much as it's a financial story and a platform that we enjoy, it has an enormous capacity to change lives.
I'll tell you, if you guys don't like telling companies that it's not viable, you can hire me. I'm happy to come out there and tell people it's not viable. It's one of my favorite things to do.
I have no problem telling you it's pencils down time and we're done.
I can't help it. Where do people go to learn more about NewPoint Advisors?
Our website, newpointadvisors.com and .us. We carry both URLs. We're based out of Chicago. We work nationally and we're agnostic to industry. And we love helping the little guys.
nobody doesn't like to help little guy.
Yeah.
Ken, thank you so much for coming by. You can watch this episode and more on advisor.tv, stream us on the WGN Plus or Rivet Radio app, or download each episode on iTunes. And remember to stay connected by following us on Twitter at TBT on WGN. Boom, that's a wrap.